Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know that once you become a Christian, once you accept the Christ as Lord and as Savior, you can enter heaven straight away. But God has decided to choose many of us to remain behind on earth. And we are here not by chance, not by accident, but by God's sovereign will with a divine and spiritual purpose. And what we find in Romans chapter 1 was the heart of the Apostle Paul for the city of Rome, for the people of God in the church in Rome. His burden is to show Christian care, caring for people without any hidden agenda does not come normal. Right from the very beginning, we realize that the sin committed by Cain against Abel was one of murder. And when God confronted him, "Where was your brother?" He knew he had killed his brother, he buried him, and he hid his body. And so he retorted and he dared to say to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That was how he answered God as part and parcel of the sinful character in his new nature. He was a sinner through and through. Before there was sin, man was good. When Adam saw Eve, "Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones," but after the fall, bone of contention, arguments to no end. And therefore, to show Christian care to one another is not something that is natural. It is something spiritual and supernatural. And so the Apostle Paul wants us to realize and understand tonight that what he shared concerning the Christians in Rome should be found in every Christian, in every believer, because you have to know who you are. You have to know what is the purpose of your presence here on earth. Because the earth is a very dangerous place. The earth is a place where Satan, as the God of this age, will continue to try his utmost to get us to stumble and fall into sin. He will try to frustrate the work of God in your life and in my life. And because of this, it is very important that you and I know why we are here as Christians and why we must care for others. Because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. Look at verse 13. We find the purpose of Christian care. The purpose of Christian care, as shared by the Apostle Paul, he said, "I do not want any one of you to be ignorant." It was an act of his will. The word "would" there is an act of his will, his desire, his continuous desire for the recipient of his epistle was that, "I do not want you to be ignorant concerning the importance of Christian care, the importance of what you are here on earth for." And so he says that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. I have desired to be with you for a long, long time, many times, but was let hitherto. The word "let" there means prevented. Something would come up and he would be prevented from coming to Rome. Now, Rome was the capital city of the Roman Empire, the greatest empire at the time in that part of the world. You look at the map of the Roman Empire, you'll find that they conquered all the nations surrounding the entire Mediterranean Sea, the northern portions of Africa, part of Rome, across the English Channel, part of Rome. So much so that during that period, they will consider the Mediterranean Sea as their pond, their backyard, their little pool, because the surrounding nations of the Mediterranean Sea were all part of the Roman Empire. It belonged to them. That's how great it was. And so to be in Rome, to share Christ in Rome, was something that was in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And so he said, "Oftentimes I really deliberately wanted to come." But to what purpose? You find that the next phrase, that's the purpose clause. And so we have described for us by the Apostle Paul himself the purpose of Christian care. that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And so he went to other cities, like Corinth, like Philippi, like Thessalonica, and then God had used him to share the gospel, and because many of them responded to the gospel, they became fruit, as the Apostle Paul would put it. And so his Christian care was to be a witness for Christ. His purpose was not to visit the capital city because of fun, because of entertainment, because it was the great capital city, that's where all the business was done. None of these carnal reasons. His purpose was to preach Christ. That was his purpose. Maybe you want to include the word fruit there to also talk about how his life can be a blessing to other believers, not just to sinners by giving them the gospel, but to encourage other believers as well. That is your life. That's why you and I are left behind after salvation on this earth. Because that's who we are right now. That's how important we are to this world and to God. Don't ever forget this. It is so easy to forget because of the busyness of our day-to-day life. We are so caught up in making a living, in trying to prepare for our future. The world has succeeded very, very marvelously in causing God's people to forget their purpose for care and concern. To those who are sinners, we have forgotten that they are dying in sin. And if they die in their sin, in our presence, in our interaction, as our friends, as our colleagues, as our relatives, they will end up in hell forever and ever without escape. Their time on this earth is all the time that they have, whether they're going to find themselves in heaven or going to find themselves in hell. And God has left you behind, just as he has left the Apostle Paul behind, with this Christian care, the care for sinners' soul, the purpose to give them God's truth, to tell them about the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose, to have some fruit amongst your relatives because of your time on earth, to have some fruit among your classmates, students, young people who are still studying, for those of us who are working in the world out there, to have some fruit in your company, in the lives of the many colleagues that you continue to meet day by day. Do we have this concern? Do we have this Christian care? Or are we so caught up in making money, in enjoying the carnal life that this world offers us, that we think that after salvation, I have a place in heaven, that's all that matters, I don't care about anybody else, then I just simply enjoy my life on this earth, fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And any other impact, let it be just simply a secondary influence. The Apostle Paul, he has only one influence, his primary goal and purpose, to go from city to city, not to travel to enjoy life, but to bring the word, the gospel. That was his heart's burden. That was his genuine, sincere Christian care. Why is it not found in our lives? Why is it so hard for us? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us the second P. He tells us the purpose of why we are here on this earth. And now he gives us the second P, the preparedness. The preparedness in Christian care. That is our struggle, because we are not prepared. He was. And so he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. The barbarians are those who are not cultured. To him, it does not matter. You can see that in the book of Acts, how the Apostle Paul preached and ministered. We talk about how he ministered to the Athenians because they were ignorant of who God was, because they had a statue of a God whom they do not know, and they put there a God with no name. And so he took advantage of that and he started to share the gospel with them. And since they were not Jews, he did not share the gospel using any Old Testament historical account. But when he shared the gospel with the Athenians, he addressed the Athenians with the gospel using something that the Athenians were familiar with. And then when he wanted to preach the gospel to the Jews, he would approach it from a perspective and angle that the Jews were very comfortable with. When he preached the gospel to those who were governors who were supposed to judge him, he preached the gospel to Agrippa, to Festus, to Felix, to all of them, according to the character and the familiarity of these individuals. He was a man who was master of so many things because he was a jack of all trades and master of preaching the gospel. And so whenever it comes to the preaching of the gospel, he knew so many different approaches, so many different methods. He doesn't care whether you are cultured or not. If you are cultured, he will give you the gospel as a cultured message. If you are barbarian, you are not cultured, he will give you the gospel according to your level. He was comfortable, in other words, because he understood his life as a debtor. You and I don't. As long as you and I are not prepared as a debtor, it is very difficult for us to go to all kinds of people. We will like to be in company that, what the idiom in English says, birds of the feather flock together. And since we are all university educated, so I'm very comfortable with my university educated friends. Those who are not university educated, I'm not comfortable with them. I don't know what to say to them. And so on. That's our problem. If I'm very comfortable with my poly friends, and so I just hang around with my poly friends. Not the Apostle Paul. Because as a debtor, he was prepared to give anything, to do anything, as long as the gospel was preached. That's what he shared. I am a slave to everyone. That's what he shared in 1 Corinthians. So that I will regard everybody as my master. That means as a debtor, you sacrifice your rights. You sacrifice your rights, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that I had Rome also. That's a debtor. Ever ready to pay the debt. Debt to whom? To these people. These were strangers. How could he be a debtor to strangers, to people he had never met before? Of course, not to them. He was a debtor to Christ. He was a debtor to God. Because God redeemed him. God gave his only begotten Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life's blood to redeem him and to save him from his sin. He understood the penalty of sin, which was death and hell. He understood how he was a depraved, total sinner. He regarded himself as the chief of sinners. And that's why when he was born again in Christ Jesus, he understood that Jesus Christ saved and died for a chief sinner. And therefore, the debt he owed God and the Lord Jesus Christ was to give his life back by bringing the gospel to whomever God would send him. And that's why he said, it is in my heart, part and parcel of my heart's desire often to be in Rome to give you the gospel so that there will be some fruit, as he had witnessed in other cities where he brought the gospel. That was his one and only all-consuming desire. When our preparedness is not that of a debtor to God and to Christ, we want to slip in our own little agenda. That's our struggle. That's our problem. That's how we miss the purpose, because our preparedness is not that of a debtor to Christ and to God. We like to mix it and introduce a little bit of our own personal agenda into the purpose, because we don't see ourselves as a debtor to Christ 100%. I may be a debtor to Christ 90%. So the 10% is my own, and I will still have my own little agenda introduced into the purpose of my life. And so our agenda will always include that which is favorable, pleasurable. That's our problem. You want to play golf? Fine. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. It's not a sinful activity. But you ask yourself one question. Do you play golf just to have fun? But where is the purpose as a debtor to Christ? the time, the moment when you play golf. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. Do you play golf with your buddies who are non-Christians? Will you take advantage of this time when you walk through this, 6 hours on the golf course? Then after that, you have some other more fellowship with them? Do you pray for the sensitivity of the Spirit of God to prompt your heart to share the gospel with them? You take advantage of the time where you will share Christ with them. Or you may lose them as friends, perhaps, but as a debtor, you know your purpose, you know their need, they don't even know their need. But will you share Christ with them, or you just simply go there for frolic and fun? Or have your own agenda to drum up more business contacts in order to enlarge your bank account? Because that's what they do, right, on golf courses, I was told. To do business. And you want this person's business, and so you go and play golf with them, they invite you to a golf game, and then you might even purposely lose the golf game. It's so easy to lose a golf game, right? You just put a little ball into the little hole, it's so easy to miss on purpose, right? You pretend to let him win, make him feel good, and then maybe if he feels good, and then he will sign the contract, and then you enlarge your business. But that's your purpose. But where is the Christian care for this sinner who is about to die in sin and end up in hell? You do not know. And now the opportunity has just simply flitted away and the time is gone. And you did not pluck up the courage because you did not realize that you have a debt to pay. A debt that you owe God that you have to pay. Because now you are the mouthpiece of Christ. Now you're the hands and legs of Christ because Christ has completed his work. He is now seated at God's right hand, interceding for you, praying for you as you be his mouthpiece and his hands and his feet to bring the gospel, the message of Christ, the love of God in Christ to that person. But because you're slipped into your own agenda, into the purpose, enlarging my business, and that's where our problem lies. All of us, as a student, if you do not nip that in the bud as a Christian student, when you enter into the working world, you will continue to have mixed purpose. It has to be a singular purpose of bringing the gospel to see some fruit that someone in your life from now until the Lord takes you home, there must be some people who would thank you in heaven because of your life of holiness and testimony, they have accepted Christ because you share Christ with them. Or will you enter heaven and you will meet no one in heaven who will say, thank you for sharing Christ with me because you have not fulfilled your debt to Christ by bringing the gospel. I hope that will not be the case of any one of us who are truly born again in Christ. Many things that you and I do, there are nothing wrong with them. But turn them into avenues for Christian care. Turn them into opportunities where you can speak a word for Christ. And to do that, you must see yourself as a debtor to everyone that God will send into your life. And that's why as a Christian, you should be a Christian that is quite knowledgeable in many things. In many things. So that if you were to witness to a basketball player, you should know a little bit about basketball. You don't have to play basketball, just read. Just read and know a little bit of names here and there of all those better ones. So that when they talk to you, you talk to them, they will think that you know quite a bit. They think that you might even play, but you don't play. So you talk to somebody who is a very, very avid tennis player. Now you have the Australian Open, the first Grand Slam, right? So you just read a bit, follow a bit. Don't have to watch the whole game because it's so time consuming. Just know the names and then know who won, who lost, who got kicked out. Right? The second best player in tennis got kicked out. You know who's the second best, right? Djokovic. You see? I don't play tennis. I don't even know how to whack the tennis ball. I just read. Read and try to remember some of these names. And then when you talk to friends or relatives who like to play tennis, and then you talk as if you know a lot. At least as if you play. I just read and know who are the up-and-coming players and what are those who are fading. I don't play golf. I mean, I used to play golf when I was a child. My dad taught us how to play golf when we were 4, 5, 6 years old. Okay? Learned to play golf before I did anything. But now I stopped long ago because it's too expensive in Singapore and never touch a golf club ever since. But I also read about golf so that when I talk to my brothers who play golf, talk to friends who play golf, talk to relatives who play golf, so I talk as if I play also. So you know the putting and then the driver and then all those, I just talk. Sometimes do not know, then ask questions. Ask questions to find out more. Show interest in what they're interested in. That's what the Apostle Paul did, right? Show interest in what the people are interested in so that you can share with them the truth. If you keep on talking about what you are interested in, they are not interested in what you are interested in. Basically, you're talking about yourself. In any conversation, you want to make the other person feel comfortable, talk about what they are interested in, and they will love you. Everywhere you go, all you do is talk about yourself. People won't invite you to any place because they know what you're going to do. You're going to brag and boast and talk about yourself. A debtor, you must know why you are here. Read and know so that you can talk to anybody. Talk to those who are barbarian, less cultured, unwise. Go to their level, teach the word of God at their level, share Christ with them in great, simple truths, in simplicity. Don't use high-flying words when you're talking to those who do not have high education. Well, are you showing off your high-flown vocabulary to those who are very wise and they consider themselves very wise? Then you reach them at their level. Because everyone, regardless of wise or unwise, Greek or barbarian, they all need the gospel. Because the gospel is for every one of them, regardless of their standing position. You look at the Bible, you find all sorts of characters who are saved by God. You have kings, you have prostitutes, you have tax collectors, the hateful ones. People hated them. Matthew, Levi, they hated Zacchaeus. And yet Christ came and saved them. You have the Samaritan woman. You have Mary, the prostitute, the harlot. And yet Christ reached forth and saved them. And then you have all these Nicodemus, the master's teachers, Pharisees. Christ saved him. The Apostle Paul, Pharisee of Pharisees, God saved him. All kinds of people. And now that Christ is up in heaven, he left this important spiritual task and duty to all of us. You are a debtor to God. You are a debtor to Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, you cannot keep this message to yourself. You have to bring it to others. It is now your responsibility to carry it with you everywhere you go. And that will bring us to the third P. Preparedness is second. Purpose is the first. And the third one is the power of God. You know how powerful you are. Everywhere you go, you carry with you the power of God that can turn a sinner into a saint. That's how you must look at yourself. You're a powerful person. You are more powerful than any of these fake and false, imaginative superheroes that you find in Hollywood, in comics. You carry with you the power of God, the power that can turn a sinner into a saint. You have in you the power of God that can snatch a person out of eternal damnation in the lake of fire and bring him into heaven. That's the power of God that is residing in you. You enter into a room where there are no genuinely born-again believers, and the moment you arrive, the whole entire body of people in that room, they are now so close to heaven because of your presence, because of your Christian care for them, by your appearance in their midst. They are now only one prayer away in getting themselves out of hell and into heaven. You believe this because you've experienced this. That's why you have to show Christian care. The preparedness is have the mindset of a debtor, paying your debt everywhere you give the gospel, you're paying your debt. And also bear in mind the power of God that is working in you, because the message of Jesus Christ that you have in you is indeed the power of God. That when you share it with them in its entirety according to scriptures, don't tamper with it. And this is now backed up by a life that is transformed by the same message that you are now sharing with them. They are not only hearing the words, they are now hearing the words, and at the same time, they are seeing the evidence, the power of God that is in your life now, that has transformed you from inside out. Your mind is now completely different from theirs. Your heart and your motive is also completely out of this world. Basically, you are an alien. Really, you and I, all believers are alien, because we are not part of this world and this world is not our home. That's what an alien is. I mean, the Bible used a very nice term to describe us as strangers and sojourners. We are not supposed to make this world our home, because we know this home, this world, is going to be destroyed by fire, because our Heavenly Father said so. They do not know, you know. And that's why you have to bear in mind that you have the power of God within you. And every time you share the gospel, it is the power of God that has just been declared. And don't you be ashamed of it. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Now, please understand, this is not saying that the power of the gospel is not powerful until someone believes, then it is powerful. That's not what it means here. What it means is that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to save anyone. Please understand, it's able to save anyone, to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. Why? Because that is where it all began. The Jews were God's people. Everything about the Jews as a nation was ordained by God. From their dressing, to their diet, to their way of life, to how they spend their year, their month, and their week. How to approach God, what is proper worship, what is acceptable and unacceptable worship. Everything about Israel ordained by God. And that's why since Christ came out of the nation, God says that the sequence of the spreading of the gospel will begin with the Jews. And then from the Jews, it will spread to the Samaritans. And then from the Samaritans, which are half Jews, half Gentiles, ultimately to the Gentiles, that's the rest of the world, all of us. And so the giving of the gospel had to start from somewhere. And in God's infinite wisdom and His sovereign will, He started with the Jews. Because the Jews are supposed to be the best candidate on planet Earth as the people who would see and recognize Jesus as the Christ. Because they had been prepared. They had the Old Testament. They have the Word of God that prophesied about the first coming of Christ. And so when the Christ, Jesus Christ came, they would be the first one to recognize Him for who He really was. And that's why at John the Baptist, baptism of Christ, He said to all the Jews who were with Him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's right, to the Jews first and then to us. And God says, you have to bring the gospel. It is the power of God to anyone who would believe. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. All they need is to believe, but they can't believe what they have not been offered. And therefore, you have to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ as a genuine, sincere, caring Christian to them. That's what they need. They don't know it. They do not know the disease of sin in their lives. They think they are very healthy. They think that they are fine. And so therefore, you have to let them know that they are not fine. You have to let them know that they are sick, very, very sick, and they don't even know it. And if they die in their sin, they are going to hell. You know that. And so when you have Christian fellowship with unbelievers, please understand the burden, the debt. By all means, hang out with your non-Christian friends. By all means, during this Chinese New Year season, when you have relatives that you're going to meet, take the opportunity to share the gospel. You find it very difficult, take those red tracts. Put them in your pocket. You can't speak Mandarin like me, take them in the pocket and give. I pray and hope that I will be able to give some. Because when I do my walking at Bukit Batok Nature Reserve, I met a few friends. Okay? They're all guys. I think they are all older than me. Because every time they see me, they call me young man. But I look at them, I look at myself in the mirror, I don't think I look that young, but they call me young man, so they must be older than me. But they all speak Mandarin. And most of the time when I walk past them and I hear what they are talking about, they all speak Hokkien. And my Hokkien is slightly better than my Swahili, which means nothing. I can't speak Hokkien. So I can't walk with them, I can't join them. So I always walk on my own. And so when I walk on my own, I just pray. And then when I stop to do exercise, and if they are around, we will chit-chat. I'll talk to them. But somehow they found out that I was a pastor. I do not know how. Maybe somebody, one of these group of people, they recognize me. I do not know how they found out I'm a pastor. Okay, so they'll walk by and some of them will call me pastor. So I hope to bring the tract and give it to them. I think they speak English because when they converse with me, the English is not their first language. I think Mandarin is their first language. And so I hope and pray that God will give me the opportunity to give the tract to them. That's my hope during this season, this next few days. Because that's the best time to give. Because Chinese New Year, they think it's an ang pao, but they know it's not an ang pao. But give it to them. Because of the debt we owe Christ. Will you and I at times suffer shame and embarrassment? Surely. There will be shame, there will be embarrassment. I don't know how they're going to react and respond. I'll just simply give the tract, hoping that they will accept. I can't speak, I can't share the gospel in Mandarin. If it's English, it's easy. But in Mandarin, I'm a monolingual person. And so I give the tract, praying that when they read the tract, the Spirit of God will work in their heart because it is the power. The power is not me. The power is in me, the gospel message. I can share it with them. And our witness and our testimony is crucial. Very, very important. Know the purpose of why you are here on earth. And prepare yourself mentally by knowing that I am a debtor to Christ. And therefore, if I have to suffer for Christ, if I endure the shame in giving the word of Christ on behalf of my Savior, so be it. Because He was humiliated far, far worse than I could ever be humiliated by sinful men. When He died on the cross for my sin, He was publicly humiliated when they mocked Him and they laughed at Him. They boxed Him, they punched Him when they covered His face. They put a crown of thorns. You call yourself a king here, put on this crown. You call yourself a king, this is the royal robe. They scourged Him like a common criminal and then they crucified Him after they stripped Him. And then as He hung on the cross with all the blood flowing down His face, His whole back was shredded because of the whipping. And you and I want to dare to talk about humiliation. And He is God Almighty. He was perfect. He could easily have delivered Himself, but He allowed Himself purposely to go through all this pain and shame and humiliation because of my sin, so that He could save me from sin, from death, and from hell. And God accepted what He has done for me when He died for me. And God raised Him from the dead. Now with that kind of payment, Christ precious life's blood to save me from sin, from death, and from hell. How can you and I not feel a debt that now that He has finished His work, He has saved you and me? Then He says, now I want you to stay behind with this purpose. Remember, all things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And what is that purpose? It's His. That's the purpose. To bring the gospel to sinners. Prepare yourself as a debtor to Christ so that you will not fear man, so that you will not fear to suffer for Christ when needed, so that you will be more sociable and go out, because inside of you is the power of God, the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Share. Sincerely, genuinely. No hidden agenda. Don't mix the purpose that God has given to us that is spiritual, that is eternal, with your own hidden agenda of anything carnal. That's why it is so important that as believers, we have to be beyond reproach. Literally, be beyond reproach. You know, there was this pastor who went to share the gospel or went to comfort a church member who was elderly and bedridden. And after he finished, his wife stepped in. And the wife was involved in this multi-level marketing. And then she started to share with this elderly person, the mother, I think elderly lady, to buy a very expensive few thousand dollar mattress. After the husband, who's the pastor, shared the word to encourage. And then the wife stepped in and did this. The son, who was an unbeliever outside, overheard. Straight away, he came in and he drove them out. Was he there to share a word to comfort the elderly person? Or was that just a cover-up to make the lady feel so beholden? And then now you offer this very good, expensive, orthopedic mattress and getting her to pay for it. No mixed purpose or agenda, please. Don't ever, ever do that. Whatever your profession is, you stay clear. And don't you use all kinds of somersault to argue and soothe your own conscience and justify what you are doing. Never mix it. If you are there to share the gospel, let it be just a sharing of the gospel. Don't have any gain or any agenda. If you are an insurance salesman and you visit a member's house, you visit somebody's house and you want to share the gospel, just share the gospel. Don't go and mix it with insurance. Don't get them to buy your insurance after you share the gospel. You go hospital visitation, the person is sick. You go there to share the gospel. After that, you're sick. You want insurance or not? You don't mix it. Don't ever, ever do that. Otherwise, no matter what your heart is, no matter how you say that I never intended, how are we going to know your heart? Your action is what's going to determine your intent. And if you're going to mix it, what do you think people will conclude? Your intention is never to share the gospel. The gospel is just a cover-up for you to enlarge your business. Don't ever, ever do that. 100% focus. Know that you're a debtor to Christ. Don't mix your purpose with your own agenda, because carrying in your life as a Christian is the power of God. And then you share it, because the world needs to believe in the gospel, because without faith, they all will die, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Give them the word. We live in a world where writings and words are very, very hard to believe. It's a very skeptical world. You go onto the internet, be very, very careful, because there are a lot of falsehood in there. At this election in America, a lot of claims that this is wrong, this is false, this is not true, and so on. And so the world is now very skeptical in believing what is right and what is wrong. And even photographs can be doctored because of the computer. You use all these things that you can change the image, the background of people. And they look so real. Doctoring. Right. That's what we are against. Don't stop giving the gospel, because it is the power. Behind the gospel is God or Himself. Two things must come together to save a sinner. The Word, the Gospel, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. By the water and the Spirit, you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The water, that is the Word. That's the power. The Spirit of God without the Word cannot. The Word of God without the Spirit cannot. You and I have been entrusted by God to bring the gospel. The Spirit of God will not bring the gospel. That's not what the Spirit of God will do. The Spirit of God will take the gospel that you and I bring and bring conviction, which will result in the person believing, and then the person will be saved. But the initial will be us bringing the gospel. And you have to believe in the power of the gospel. You must believe in the preparedness that you are a debtor. That's how you prepare yourself to go. That will help you overcome your shyness. That will help you overcome your trepidation. Whatever it is that may stop you, hinder you. Remember, debtor to Christ, debtor to Christ. After all that he has done for you, I am now his mouthpiece. I am now his hands and his feet. Give me the courage to go. Swallow your fear and go, because you are placed here with this divine purpose to bring the power of God through the gospel to save sinners. Don't be ignorant of why you are here on this earth. Show genuine, sincere Christian care. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, that we may never forget why we are left behind on this earth after salvation, to show Christian care, especially to sinners who are dead in sin and blind to spiritual things. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may realize and understand the purpose and how we must prepare ourselves as debtors to Christ because of all that he has done in our lives in saving us. And now we are to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, and to be his feet, to go and to do what he wants us to do, and to speak the word that he wants us to speak. For in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to whoever would believe. And we pray, O Lord, that you be gracious and merciful to remind us to show this Christian care to whomever that you will bring into our lives, especially more so during this Chinese New Year season. May we be sensitive to the prompting, leading, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to take the tracks if we are not able to speak the language, that we will do whatever it takes, O Lord, to fulfill the purpose of showing genuine Christian care to those who are outside Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.